everyone. Welcome to the Pair Podcast. And one of our VIP pairs, one of our members, asked us what to do when a pet dies. She was specifically referring to her, how to deal with telling her six-year-old child about a pet dying. So whether it's a fish, a hamster, a dog, a cat, what do you do, John?
Yeah. You know, I deal with this all the time. It's amazing that sometimes people can lose a distant relative and it'll have an impact on them. When young people lose a pet, it has an enormous impact mm-hmm. on them, you know? So it's no small thing. And it is reality. I heard a comedian say one time that he brought a dog home and to his family and said, "Look what I have. Future heartbreak," or something like that. Right. 'Cause eventually this is going to happen, and this is going to be really, really difficult. So one thing that I think it's important for parents to remember is a pet dying is a reality. Part mm-hmm. of the reason that we have pets is eventually we are going to have to wrap our minds and our children's minds around this idea of loss and death and to sustain the emotions around that, right? To be able to express the emotions around mm-hmm. that and really kind of work through them. And it's a rare opportunity in a young life to hopefully to be able to work your way through that idea of loss and pain. What I find is the most helpful thing that a family can do is conduct some kind of ritual around the loss, you know, something akin to a funeral or a burial or something like that. And kids really respond well to that. And, you know, bringing up the name frequently and talking about the good memories they have with that pet. Kids respond really, really well to that. But what I find happens a lot is parents will kind of act in denial of the loss or try to minimize it. And that does not work for kids. And I think it gives kids a little bit of a disservice for losses they're going to sustain later in their lives. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually a good first model for kids to recognize, okay, this happens. There is this circle of life, and I have to be aware that this is a reality.
So yeah, saying, "Oh, we'll just go get another fish at the pet mm-hmm. store" is not the way to do it, right?
The burial. Because
what's that?
You do a burial. You
know,
take through the let them know that the life, no matter how big or small, is meaningful, right?
Right.
And the younger you can teach someone that, the more respect they have for life.
Absolutely.
And so I get it. So doing like a ritual.
When our dog died, my parents for about a month and a half said that he was still at the vet.
This is what we want to avoid. I think a lot of people did this.
He's still
at
the vet.
How did that scar you, Ransom?
I mean, it was probably smart on their part because after a month and a half of not having the dog, you kind of, you know, it wasn't as traumatic as if they just had pulled the plug, you know. So I think they kind of had stretched it out a little bit.
And then they finally told you.
Out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. Yeah. But he had been dead for a month and a half, I think, before they.
So in contrast, when our dog died when I was in eighth grade, my dad was home from work for a week. And he was really distraught. And I remember somewhere around Wednesday, I asked my dad, you know, like, "What's wrong?" And he said, "You know what? I'm really just really sad. I really miss Jason." And that was really good. They gave us all permission to feel sad about Jason. So all six of us as a family sat there for about a half an hour after dinner. We told some stories and we laughed and mostly we cried. Mm. But it was really appropriate and it helped us like kind of mitigate and manage the loss. Mm-hmm. And I will say we did eventually get another dog, same breed. But it was really clear to us, this isn't Jason. This is a different dog. You know, this is Zach, and we're going to treat Zach differently than we treated Jason.
Right.
But we honored that memory. We didn't blow it off. And I think that's really important in families.
That is important mm-hmm. because I think, you know, I come from the type of family, and I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate to this, where we didn't really talk about our feelings, mm-hmm. you know, the Italian family, like a lot of pride and, you know, just like, no, it's fine. And our first dog who died was Curly. And Curly actually got run over by a school bus. Mm. So my school bus took off, and then the next school bus, Curly jumped in the street to chase my school bus, and then this other school bus came.
Oh, man.
And, did you witness it?
It was awful. No, I didn't. But when I got to school, I was at lunch, and this boy, Duncan, came up to me and said, "Bet you $5 your dog's dead. Can you believe he said this to me?
Wow.
And so
awful.
I said, yeah. And I remember I bet him because I said, that's impossible. You're crazy. I go running home and I walk in the house and my mom is screaming, crying from the top of her lungs. She'd been screaming all day. And that's how I found out Curly was dead. And I got to tell you, there was never a real conversation where we sat down and talked about it. It was just like, I ran up to my room and just like held in all this like pain and emotion and sorrow. And then that was that, you know? And I think that to this day, and then we had another dog after that, Curly 2, who we had for 13 years.
You named him Curly 2?
It was a she, and yes, her name was Curly 2. The first one was Curly 1. Curly 2, well, Curly. Her name was Curly, but she was Curly 2. And Curly 2 died at 13 of old age.
Right.
And natural causes. And where was I going with this? So Curly 2 died, and that was like a little different, but still very, very sad. We still don't really talk about it,
right,
you know? And I will say to this day, now as an adult who has processed all of this, I fear buying, getting a pet. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, well, you know, we'll see dogs. Like, well, you know, I love dogs and I grew up with dogs, but I fear getting a dog because I'm like, I don't want to deal with that loss again because it was so traumatic for me and it was never resolved.
Isn't that amazing? Like how the names have stuck with you. You know exactly how
Duncan.
Old.
Everything.
Right? Curly 2 was. Yeah. We remember Duncan, right? We remember the kid.
Exactly.
We remember so many details about these pets, you know? I love the idea of kids having pets, you know? I get your reluctance because in a way I would assume you don't want Duke to go through some of the pain that you went through as a
exactly.
kid, right?
Yeah. And me too. I don't want to relive that pain either because I saw my mom in so much pain. And so now I'm the mom. And,
right.
But I do think going back to your point, Dr. Duffy, that you have to resolve it. You have to talk about it. You have to celebrate the life. You have to, you know, and it's just like part of it, you know,
it is.
And it's part of the healing process. And I don't think that, you know, you have to let a child heal. So basically what you're saying is that is be upfront about it and
absolutely.
Talk about kind of the cycle of life and.
And don't hide the idea. Like, you know, don't the idea that Curly 2, it went to somebody's farm and is perfectly fine.
Right.
You know, like that, that is not a useful narrative for kids. You know what I mean? I think it's important for kids to know that there's going to be loss in their lives. And this is the easiest, healthiest way for them to get that message.
Can I just throw one more thing? You know, it's interesting. So later when I was in college, I got Kiko and Conan. So I went to college, you know, and the dog stayed home. And then I kind of went to LA and my mom gave them to a friend because she was traveling to Italy a lot with my dad. And so no one was home to take care of them. So she gave them to a friend.
Okay.
To this day, okay, this is 100 years later, I have never asked what happened to Kiko and Conan. What happened? Where are they still with the friend? How did they die? Obviously they died. This was 20 years ago.
I would assume, yes.
At least. But I pray for them every night. I pray they're in my prayers, Kiko and Conan, as if they are alive.
Really?
Yes. I pray to them. Like,
they're
may
alive
they live.
In your mind.
I say, I name all these people and they're part of it. And I say, may they live long, happy, healthy lives. So I think it's interesting. Like, that's not normal.
Right?
John goes,
We're going to make this another podcast.
Okay,
this
fine.
Is a
but
this
it's
is not
normal.
About-
I get it. But my point is, I should have had resolution, and I don't know how to resolve death like that because I think of Curly number one.
We're gonna, for Mother's Day, I'm going to give you a couple of sessions with Dr. Duffy. I'll prepay for them.
I need them.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Charge.
We want to hear your thoughts. Please let us know what you're thinking, and we'll see you on the next pair of podcasts.
Would you like to know what I'm thinking about Kiko?
Goodbye. Goodbye. Click.